content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dami Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the April 2021 issue of Lion Magazine, now online. We're going to start today with our president's message entitled, Be the River. Greetings, Lions. How does a stream become a river? It begins as a trickle of snowmelt at the top of a mountain and flows downward, picking up more water as it runs, joining other streams. It wears away rock and soil as it flows, carving a path and shaping the landscape until one day it's a roaring river. Lions, this is how change happens. Slowly, over time, and by joining together. Like most of you, I have long been trying to lessen my impact on our planet. I recycle, I reuse items before replacing them, and I try to reduce my overall consumption. I want our planet to be healthy and vibrant for generations to come. But there is so much more to be done. I often wonder if my small, everyday changes make a difference. I wonder if I shouldn't be doing more. And the answer is yes. There is always room to be doing more to protect the planet. However, it's also true that the little things do matter. They do add up. Small efforts made consistently and over time can amount to meaningful change. Earth Day is April 22, 2021. Lions, no matter what your chosen cause, I hope you are able to pause this month and think of all the decisions you make every day. Ask yourself if there is room for a small effort toward a cleaner environment, a drop of water to join our ever-increasing tide of change. Sincerely, Dr. Yung-Jul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. And next, we're going to move to our Global Service Department, starting with a sweet story from St. Lucia, entitled Kitchen Gardens Feed the Belly and the Soul. Residents of the St. Lucie Home for the Elderly on the West Indian island of St. Lucia have been enjoying a bounty of freshly grown vegetables that are adding flavor and valuable nutrients to their diets. Thanks in part to the efforts of the 50-member-strong Castries Lions Club, an array of vegetables including broccoli, tomatoes, Chinese cabbage, and lettuce are growing in a 300-square-foot kitchen garden on the property. The project to provide healthy foods to vulnerable residents like these at the home took root in December of 2020 when Castries Lions provided seedlings for the garden. St. Lucia has recently made efforts to improve sustainability on the island, a problem which has been highlighted by slowed food imports during the COVID-19 pandemic. The onset of the COVID-19 pandemic has seen drastic reductions in the quantity of food available in our local market, says Castries Club President Christopher Emanuel. It prompted many local residents to embark on growing their own kitchen gardens. A group called Recover St. Lucia was formed to help fight the pandemic. One of its efforts, Eat What We Grow, is encouraging residents throughout the island to reduce their food costs by tending their own gardens. This initiative is helping St. Lucians grow more of our local foods and reduce our food import bill, Emanuel says. Castries Lions saw an opportunity to help residents who didn't have their own yards for gardens, St. Lucie's Home for the Elderly and Cornerstone House in Castries, which provides food and shelter for the homeless. The Lions already provided hot meals to the residents of the two homes on a monthly basis, and they knew a kitchen garden would enable them to get basic food items fresh from their backyard. While the garden at St. Lucie's Home is overseen by Administrator Sylvestre Phillip, a former agricultural science teacher, and by a gardener employed by the home, about 10 residents who have the ability to get around are also helping to tend the garden. We see this as a form of therapy for those participating, says Philip. The residents are also very happy to consume nourishing food that they produce in their own kitchen garden. For other clubs considering starting a similar project, Emmanuel has some advice. First, speak to the homes or organizations that you want to help to ensure this is a project they require and that will be helpful to them, he says. Then, conduct a survey of the property to be sure it will be suited for a garden. He also advises working with a local agricultural extension officer or other expert who can provide technical guidance, and he suggests keeping track of it as it grows. Be sure to monitor the project to ensure the garden is going as planned, Emmanuel says. Replenish the seedlings so it can be sustainable. Emmanuel says his club is pleased to help the island's most vulnerable residents thrive by consuming a healthy diet. This project provides residents with a constant supply of locally grown organic food that will augur well for their balanced diets, he says. It will also help decrease the cost of their monthly food bills. And next, from Canada, we have Going Gaga for Gaga, an outdoor game that gets kids playing safely during the pandemic. Batting a ball around a Gaga pit, students at Lillian Berg Public School in Vermilion Bay, Ontario, run, jump, and twist to evade a ball being launched at them by other players. The game, called Gaga Ball, is similar to dodgeball and is helping them get a physical workout while staying socially distant during the COVID-19 pandemic. All the fun they're having is due, in part, to the efforts of the Vermilion Bay Lions Club, which funded and built the octagonal-shaped fenced-in area where Gaga is played. Few school days have gone by since the pit was built in late October that Principal Doris St. Jules has not heard students shouting, "Gaga, go," as they bounce the ball three times before putting it in play in the enclosed outdoor area that has nothing to do with the famed pop singer. "The students love it," St. Jules says. "They like to strategize. They like to be tricky. They look at one person and then throw the ball at another. They are so engaged in it." Unlike dodgeball, Gaga uses a softer ball and has a different rules, including not being able to hit people with it above the knees. It is believed that Gaga, the name translates as touch-touch from Hebrew, started in Israel in the 1950s and spread as camp counselors started playing it at Jewish summer camps in the 1970s. St. Jules heard about it from another school and thought it would be a good addition to her school that serves kindergarten through the eighth grade. "It has several benefits," she says. "It provides physical activity, it's low cost, and it's the type of activity that anyone can take advantage of. All they have is the ball." Susan Hutchison, secretary of the Vermilion Bay Lions Club, said the club was glad to take on the project. "It was a great idea because we're trying to promote kids going outdoors, physical activities, rather than sitting inside at their computers," she says. Most of the materials, except the treated lumber, and the plan needed to create the enclosure were purchased from a company in the United States. St. Jules estimates it cost about $3,600 Canadian, which is about $2,818 US, and was funded entirely by the Lions. The Lions started planning the project in the spring of 2020 and overcame several hurdles, including getting approvals for it from the school district and the local health department. The Lions also ensured they had the proper setting for the pit that was constructed on 6 or 7 inches of sand and gravel on the school's playground. "We had to make sure that the ground was level and flat," Hutchison says. They also had to make sure the enclosure was built so that it would drain properly after rain or snow, St. Jules adds. It took a group of about 8 to 12 volunteers about a day to build the pit. Hutchison says it's the sort of project that other Lions clubs could take on in their own communities. She often sees children playing in the pit, even using it for games other than Gaga, such as playing tag or pretending it's a fort. "They have so much fun with that thing. You'd think it was a $1 million project," she says. And our last piece from our Global Service Department, from the United States, calling all senior citizens. Lions step up to get seniors set up for their shots. When the small community of Barkhamsted, Connecticut got their first stock of vaccinations for their residents age 75 and over, town selectman, also a mayor, Don Stein, knew seniors would need help navigating the online portal required to register for their shots. And he knew just who to turn to. Litchfield County is a rural hamlet in the northwest corner of the state. Surrounded by towns that boast the lavish country estates of New York's elites and Hollywood movers and shakers, Barkhamsted is decidedly more understated. "We're a bedroom community," says Stein. "We rely heavily on volunteers to get things done. That's where organizations like Lions come into play." While the club was chartered in 1966, Barkhamsted Lions Clubs was nothing more than a handful of volunteers for years. But when they sponsored the construction of an ice skating rink for a group of, quote, young residents, they were in their 30s and 40s, the appeal of Lions grew. That group of guys was like, "Wow, this organization is here to help us," says Stein. Membership quickly went from about half a dozen to 20 or 25 members, he says. It doesn't hurt that Dave Roberts, past district governor and president of the Barkhamsted Lions, is an effective recruiter. "We find that one of the best ways to seek out new Lions is to invite friends with a heart for service to a local community service event, and the event sells them on becoming a Lion," says Roberts. He's hard to say no to, says Stein. "It's a town of 3,700 people, and everyone knows the Lions now. They mainly support the local senior center, which runs entirely off of volunteers, and ECAD, also known as Educated Canines Assisting with Disabilities. In fact, they've started branch clubs for each project in order to better serve them." Roberts has taken the senior center under his wing. "Our senior center is lucky to have him," says Lucille Delaney, who turned 83 in February. Before COVID, she and her husband went to lunch at the center on Tuesdays. Once a month, the center hosted a potluck supper. "That was our social life, you know," she says. "We met a lot of nice people there." When the pandemic hit, Lions helped in any way they could, including picking up and delivering prescriptions to seniors. "In the beginning of the pandemic, there was any number of seniors who didn't want to leave the house," says Stein. "So the Lions and the town all collaborated to get people the support they needed." Later, Lions learned about the USDA Food Box program, and they began helping to volunteer with that, getting the boxes off the truck and into the hands of those who needed it. So when the time came to coordinate the inoculation of Barkhamsted's senior citizens, Stein knew exactly who to call on. Stein knew that getting seniors to schedule their appointments online would require a team of trusted volunteers who could make a lot of calls in a short amount of time. They began by using the town's voter registrar to identify and call everyone over age 75. Volunteers were provided scripts on what to say and lists of seniors to call. They maintained social distance by calling them from multiple venues across towns. If no one answered, volunteers left detailed messages on how to call town hall if they needed assistance in scheduling a vaccine appointment. Some seniors were lonely and just enjoyed talking, even though they didn't need help scheduling their vaccine appointments, says Roberts. One senior mentioned that her husband had recently passed away, and she wanted to donate all of his used eyeglasses to the Lions. When calls were completed, the call sheets and accompanying notes were faxed back to town hall. So far, they've scheduled close to 300 appointments for people. "Seniors, they can't always remember stuff," says Delaney. "I had already made my appointment by the time Dave called, but I was really impressed by the Lions helping out." She had found out about the appointments from a member in the newspaper. But when she called the number, they referred her to an online portal. She had to call several people before getting through to someone who could help her make an appointment over the phone. Lions also volunteered to provide rides to the appointments for those who needed them. "Many seniors don't like to drive during the winter months or don't have transportation," says Roberts. Delaney and her husband are just grateful they have the center and look forward to when things open up again. When we were younger, we thought, we'll wait till we're older, she says. We didn't think we were old enough to join a senior center. But once we did, we were so glad. And now I've got an LCIF impact story for you entitled, O Canada, We Stand on Guard for Thee. With support from Lions Club's International Foundation, also known as LCIF, brave and compassionate lions across the world have banded together to help communities safely navigate the COVID-19 pandemic. South Ontario Canadian Lions are no exception. True to the lyrics of their country's national anthem, District A3 Lions have stood on guard for thee, helping protect dedicated frontline medical workers caring tirelessly for patients in 44 Ontario long-term care facilities. With manufacturers of personal protective equipment, also known as PPE, unable to keep pace with demand, and transport services carrying this precious cargo equally taxed, PPE was short supply in Ontario. Basic supply and demand economics also meant the little equipment still available had become unusually expensive. Compounding the problem, staffing shortages found healthcare workers pushed beyond their limits. Those desperately needed to provide skilled care now required relief themselves. Knowing the challenges, health and safety concerns, Lions stepped in. Being in lockdown was shocking, but Lions rose to the occasion, said past District Governor Susan Taylor, in office at the time that Lions learned of a nearby nursing home that had experienced a COVID outbreak and sadly lost several patients. Lions were determined to help local facilities by sourcing and purchasing PPE and providing meals for staff. LCIF supported their efforts by awarding a $10,000 emergency grant. To begin the project, then Vice District Governor Don Radner ignited a 42-club initiative to adopt long-term care facilities. More than 800 Lions joined in the effort. Each club paired with one or two local facilities, spending $227 on each to purchase reusable masks, touchless thermometers, as well as meals, coffee, and grab-and-go snacks for medical staff working long hours. In addition, one Lion's granddaughter created thank you cards for the workers, noting words of encouragement such as, "You are a star, and thank you for being there." More than 2,500 frontline medical heroes received support. Some clubs spent less than the funds allotted for their facility, so a portion of the grant was given to a local hospital's COVID-19 relief program. The hospital sends staff to local long-term care facilities to train workers in handling the specific situations that arise during a pandemic. Thanks to LCIF and brave and generous Lions, medical workers had protection needed to safely care for patients and gained both physical and mental strength from the meals, snacks, coffee, and encouragement that the Lions provided. Having been put to very good use, initial LCIF grant funds are now gone, but the relationships between many clubs and the facilities they've adopted are not. Clubs continue to support the healthcare workers, bringing them meals, coffee, and all importantly, hope. Grateful for the help and support received, many of the facilities sent notes thanking LCIF and Lions for their generosity. It was also evident in their smiles, noted Taylor. I am extremely proud of the A3 Lions, said Taylor. Vice District Governors at the time, Don Radner and Mark Kelso and I worked tirelessly to ensure the success of this project. Clubs became creative and found it easy to serve the community with masks and social distancing. The Lions have truly lived the words of their national anthem, standing on guard to help those in times of great need. LCIF has awarded Lions more than 350 grants, totaling more than $5.2 million U.S. dollars for pandemic relief efforts in every constitutional area, whether providing funding for PPE, food for families out of work, or technology to keep elderly nursing home patients in contact with their families. LCIF is there with Lions across the world. And next, I have one more LCIF Impact article that I want to read. This was actually from February, but we didn't have time to read it in our February and March issues, but I still wanted to share it with you. It's titled, Lion's Quest Helps Children Cope with Pandemic. COVID-19. Mention the virus and thoughts of fighting off physical illness come to mind. Yet, there is another side of the global pandemic that's taking a different, troubling toll. A toll on young people's mental well-being. Childhood can be challenging under the best of circumstances, and today, quarantines, thoughts of serious sickness, and losing loved ones are causing youth additional stress, restlessness, and fear. Young children may have experienced a family member with illness or a virus making its way around their community, but a pandemic is a new level this generation has never seen. Today, children need support in new ways. Enter Lions Quest, the signature youth development program of Lions Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF. Lions Quest is rooted in social and emotional learning, also known as SEL, and offers curricula for students in grades pre-K through 12. It's a proven program through which children effectively apply knowledge, attitudes, and skills necessary to live happy, healthy lives. Students learn to understand and manage emotions, set and achieve goals, feel and show empathy for others, establish positive relationships, and make responsible decisions. SEL can help children feel safer, more connected, and hopeful, feelings particularly affected by the pandemic. Skills developed through Lion's Quest lessons and exercises also aid children in managing emotions that may arise from changing routines, social isolation, and learning of friends and family affected by the virus. Lions in North and Central Argentina, integral in the implementation of Lion's Quest, wanted to address the new situations students are facing due to COVID-19. So they organized efforts to continue the program while schools were closed. They worked with a local Lions Quest trainer to adapt the lessons for online learning and created social media groups for teachers to share resources, inspire motivation, and stay connected. For students whose families cannot afford internet access, Lions printed and delivered Lions Quest materials. Some even purchased internet access for those families, ensuring the children still had access to the vital life lessons Lions Quest offers. The pandemic has brought on new stressors that could easily lead children to poor behavior and dangerous decisions. However, Lions Quest is guiding them through. Lions Quest helped us give students tools and resources needed to be empathic, to avoid drugs, and to value themselves as people, says Guadalupe Ferreira, an elementary school teacher at school N4845 in Salta Norte. Our school has had a reduced rate of violence since implementing the program in 2017. It is extremely effective. Lions Quest Family Connection Worksheets are proving to be especially useful during this time. The worksheets are a critical tool designed to help students practice each lesson skill with family members. Students learn to identify emotions and clearly communicate their thoughts around given situations. They complete the worksheets with a family member so they can relate their lesson to real-life situations that happen at their home. In these pandemic times, it is very important to reach students through the family connection worksheets, says schoolteacher Yael Palavecino, who's helping her elementary school students in Buenos Aires navigate unfamiliar territory provoked by the pandemic. We have been able to virtually enter houses and interact with the family of each of our students, and we have never been able to do this before, says Lion Richard Lanza, a professor in Cordoba training teachers to implement Lion's Quest. Through empathy and development of social skills, Lion's Quest has allowed us to cope with these very different and complex situations. As families are spending day and night together, isolating at home, the children are learning to cope with stress in a healthy way. With Lion's Quest, we learned the skills to improve our relationships and coexistence with others, says Camilla, a sixth grade student. Her classmate, Magali, agrees. Lion's Quest taught me to respect, to understand, and to listen. While this story takes place in Argentina, children across the world are impacted by COVID-19. Times might be tough, but Lion's Quest is helping children adapt and become stronger emotionally. To learn more about LCIF's social and emotional learning curriculum, visit lions-quest.org. And now it's time for club news. We're going to start today with the Stafford Township Lions Club in New Jersey, who started a GoFundMe page for fundraising to support community projects, including scholarships for graduating seniors, food gift cards, support of the Southern Regional Leo Club, free vision schedule screenings in schools, and more. The Lemon Grove Lions in California sponsored their monthly drive-through food distribution in their community. In Virginia, the Burke Lions partnered with others to conduct a community food drive to benefit Food for Others Warehouse, local high schools, and church pantries. The Lions received 2,834 pounds of food and $320. A Burke Lions convoy delivered the food and an additional $500 from Lions to the Food for Others Warehouse. Lions also hosted the Virginia Lions Eye Institute Foundation event on Zoom, honoring the Joe Lapome Merit Grant recipients. Unique to District 24L, the Merit Grant honored Lapone, a Falls Church Lion in Virginia who committed to work for the visually impaired. The Hickory Creek Middle School Student Council and the Lions Club of Frankfort in Illinois partnered to collect more than 3,000 pairs of socks from students, staff, and the community, more than doubling its original goal of 1,500 pairs for those in need. The Eugene Bethel Lions in Oregon continue to help 8-year-old Isaac, who was blinded by a rare brain tumor. The Lions assisted his family with the purchase of an Orcam My Eye that clips to his sunglasses and tells him what's in front of him. A Springfield Lions Club Foundation grant provided $500 to cover his trips to Portland for medical treatment and built railings for his family's porch, helping individuals and communities alike. And unfortunately, we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day.